We've been doing a series on the subject of worship. We've looked at the last several weeks that God has already set the bounds of what constitutes true worship, and that is the bounds of spirit and in truth. And we've been looking at what it is to worship in spirit. All true worship is spiritual in nature, of course, and proceeds from a spiritual nature, which means in order to truly worship God, we must die to ourselves, must overcome the flesh and all its forms. We see that spiritual worship, of course, is done by the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's under the control of the Holy Spirit. Everything about worship that is involved in true worship, singing, praise, prayer, everything must be done in a spiritual manner. By that, we simply mean that it is opposed to that which is fleshly. It is opposed to that which is carnal. The emphasis is on the internal rather than the external. All superficial worship is rejected by God. Superficial worship being that which is merely external without the internal being right. God is not interested in mere mechanical actions, and our actions become mechanical when the heart is not right. And we have to guard against these things, because the tendency of human nature is to accent and garnish the outward while neglecting the inward. That is our nature. That is our tendency. That is what we will all do left to ourselves. So true worship is really the result of a heart that is right with God, a heart that is occupied with God. We have seen thus far that true worship, of course, must have a proper end. It must have a proper motive. That is, must have a proper reason. And that motive, that end, is simply for the honor and glory of God. People worship for a lot of reasons. But the reason is for the honor and the glory of God. Last week we began to look at the fact that true worship involves being set apart for God and a coming apart from the world. This is absolutely crucial. Worship cannot be spiritual if there is not a consecration, a sanctification, if there is not a being set apart for God and a coming apart from the world. Again, this requires death. It requires that we die to self. But this consecration, again, is absolutely necessary. Consecration simply means that we're set apart from other uses to the particular use of God. So when we come together to worship as a congregation, we are to separate ourselves from the world, from whatever is going on outside, and we are to set ourselves aside for a particular purpose, and that, of course, would be to worship God. It means that we reserve and we devote ourselves to a sacred purpose. That is, we reserve and we devote ourselves to worship. It is a separation from that which is profane. It is a separation from that which is secular. May not be anything wrong with the secular. Doesn't matter. It is a separation from the secular. It is a separation from the carnal. And it is a separation to a sacred and spiritual use. That's consecration. From the meaning of consecration, we see that this separation or setting apart also includes dedication. Again, this is imperative to true worship. To consecrate is the very opposite of to profane. To profane is to treat that which is of God, that which is sacred. We profane it when we treat it as common. When you take the spiritual and treat it as common, that's profanity. That's spiritual profanity. That is profaning. It's just the opposite of consecration. So it's to treat that which is sacred. Worship is sacred. It's one of the most sacred things that we can do. And when we treat that as common, we're guilty of profanity. To profane is to misuse that which is sacred. When we misuse worship, we are guilty again of this profanity. In the Old Testament, this was something that Israel was warned against repeatedly, not to profane the things of God. We also see, not only were they warned against it repeatedly, it was a common charge against them. Things have not gotten better. God's people are grossly guilty of profanity. And very, very, very few of God's people see this as a problem. And it is one of the biggest problems that we have in our lives today. It is one of the biggest problems we have in our churches today. Treating that which is sacred as if it were common. A failure to separate that which is secular from that which is spiritual and vice versa. Notice this charge against Israel if we turn to Ezekiel 22 and verse 8. A couple of these verses we're going to go back to. But in Ezekiel 22 and verse 8, thou hast despised mine holy things, and hast profaned my Sabbaths. You have thought little of my holy things, and you have profaned, you have treated the Sabbath as it was any other day. That was the charge against Israel. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. You look at what goes on in worship today, this is common. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. In fact, today we bring in the profane into the house of God and pretend to worship. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I, God, am profaned among them. Ezekiel 23, verse 38. Moreover, this they have done unto me, When we profane the things of God, we have done something unto God. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. Ezekiel chapter 25 and verse 3. And say unto the Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou sayest, aha, against my sanctuary when it was profaned. That is, it was profaned and you treated it as no big deal. And against the land of Israel when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah when they went into captivity. Then notice in Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel 36. Again, this is the charge against the nation. We'll begin reading verse 20. We'll read through verse 23. And when they entered into the heathen, unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify, I will set apart my great name, which was profaned among heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you, set apart in you, before their eyes. And then notice in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, and verse 12. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Then notice in chapter 2 and verse 11, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. And here's the abomination. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. There's a lot of different ways that you and I can profane that which is sacred. There are a lot of different ways in which worship is profaned. But to treat that which is set apart for God as common, where does that come from? What is the cause of that? Well, the cause of that is thinking lightly upon that which is of God. Thinking lightly upon that which is sacred. Notice again, if we go back to Ezekiel 22, we read this verse. But notice verse 28, Ezekiel chapter 22. In verse 8, thou hast despised my holy things. And the continuation of that, you think lightly of the holy things of God. We're in the subject of worship. When we think lightly of worship, we will profane it. We will treat it as common. And we will see soon that this is a very, very serious matter, and has profaned my Sabbaths. So what leads to profanity is a thinking lightly or not thinking highly enough of spiritual things. And this is defiling. This pollutes us. Ezekiel 23 Verse 38. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. Defilement and profanity, they go hand in hand. And churches today are filled with defilement. And one of the main causes is this spiritual profanity that we're talking about. And again, very, very, very few people even recognize it as a problem. And perhaps it is the greatest problem that we have. A taking the things of God and treating them as if they were nothing. And again, we could mention several ways that this takes place in worship, but we're not going to do that. So it's defiling. This profaning the things of God is resented by God. God resents it. God hates it. God is offended by it. It is an abomination to God. And therefore, it's very dangerous. You cannot do that which God resents and not be in danger. And God resents it. God hates it. We've already seen through the last several weeks that God hates just outward actions in worship. He hates it. So don't ever take the attitude, well, it's better than nothing. God hates it. Can't stand it. He says, away with it. I'm tired of looking at it. It's very dangerous to profane the things of God. It's very dangerous to enter a worship service and treat it as that which is common. Notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 8. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing, the sanctified, the set apart thing of the Lord. And that soul, the soul that has profaned the hallowed thing, shall be cut off from among his people. This was dangerous, to profane that which God has set apart. It's a very dangerous thing. Notice in Numbers chapter 18. Numbers 18, verse 32. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it. When ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Do not pollute the holy things. And we pollute holy things when you bring in the secular. When you put no difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy. And God says, ye shall die. It's dangerous. In order for worship to be true, from what we've seen so far this evening, the things of God must not be mingled with that which is disagreeable to God. That is, we come in to worship. And many times people bring in a wagon full of that which is disagreeable with God. You can't worship that way. That which is offensive to God. You cannot worship mingling that which is disagreeable and offensive to God. And I'm not talking about just mere outward appearance. I'm talking about in the heart. There must not be a secularization or a treating as common that which is sacred. Jeremiah 15 and 19, the precious and the vile must be separated. We must put a difference between the two. So consecration, this setting apart, setting ourselves apart from the world to God for the purpose of worship. This consecration is imperative. It is absolutely necessary to worshiping God in spirit. And there are people who have gone through the mechanics of worship for many, many, many years and have never consecrated themselves, have never separated themselves for the purpose of worship. And may I say, they have never, ever worshiped. Not truly. When you really start breaking it down, there are few times that we ever truly worship the Lord. And it's sad. There is to be a consecration of day. I'm talking about congregational worship. We've already gone through worshiping God individually. We're dealing congregationally now. There is to be a consecration of day, of time, and of place. The fourth commandment, and this is forgotten today, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it sanctified, to keep it set apart from all the other common days. You remember the Sabbath day and you keep it holy. You keep it set apart. You don't let anything interfere with that. That commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, to set it apart, as the Lord thy God commanded thee. I believe this is necessary for worship. We keep the Sabbath day holy by consecrating it, setting it apart, dedicating the day, not the hour, dedicating the day to the service of the Lord. It is a day set apart for the Lord. The Sabbath day is profaned in many ways. And this is a very, very common sin today amongst God's people. In fact, it is a pet sin. People get offended when you get on this. But the Sabbath day is profaned in many, many different ways today. We'll just mention a few very briefly. The Sabbath day is profaned when there is not a rest from worldly employments or from that which tends to worldly gain. The Sabbath day is not for worldly employment. The Sabbath day is not for worldly gain. It's set apart from that. The other days are for worldly employment. The other days are for worldly gain. But there is a day that is set apart from all the other days. And again, I'm not bragging, but I wish that more of God's people would see the seriousness of this matter. I have never, since I have been saved, worked on the Lord's day. I have been threatened to be fired if I do not come in. Fire me. I am not working. I am not working on the Lord's day. People say, well, that's taking it too far. Show me that. Show me that in the Word of God. I don't want to hear human reasoning. Show it to me in the Word of God. You can't do it. It is a profanity. It is a profaning of the Sabbath day. This is part of worshiping in spirit. We have to set apart this day. So again, when we fail to rest from worldly employment, or worldly gain, we profane it. For an example, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, we'll read verse 15 and then we'll read verse 17. In those days saw I in Judah some, thank the Lord, not all, treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? It's an evil thing. It is an evil thing to profane the Sabbath day. It's evil. It's deadly throughout the Old Testament. But yet today, it is accepted. It is accepted. It has almost become common. And we profane that day. Again, this spiritual profanity is not something that God takes lightly. The Sabbath day is profaned when there is not a rest from worldly pleasures. You have all your other days for worldly pleasures. The Sabbath day is not for worldly pleasures. The Sabbath day is to be set apart. Notice in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Verses 13 and verse 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy or the sanctified of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Talking about the Sabbath day. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. God is saying, I will bless thee. If you do not do your own pleasure on the Sabbath day. When will we realize today you cannot be in sports without it being on Wednesday or Sunday, and almost every major sporting event is on what day? Sunday. That's not an accident. That is by design. By the design of Satan. And God's people, for the most part, see nothing wrong with it. That's what I go back to my original statement. We have gotten ourselves in such a condition. Not all of us. But overall, folks have gotten themselves in such a condition they haven't even come close to worshiping God. It's not to do our own pleasure on the Sabbath day. It's a day set apart for God. The Sabbath day is profaned, I believe, when one fails to make preparation for that day. We profane it. We treat it like any other day. The truth is, the sad truth is, people make more preparation for Monday than they do the Lord's Day. How sad. How sad. Yet that's where we are today. When we carry out the duties outwardly, the duties of the Sabbath day, but our mind is still on the carnal, that is profaning the Sabbath day. Notice in the book of Amos, chapter 8. Book of Amos, chapter 8, we'll read verse 4 down through verse 6. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? When will the day that's been set apart by God be gone that we might sell corn? And the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great and falsifying the balances by deceit. That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, and ye sell the refuse of the wheat. Here they were going through the motions of the Sabbath day and the special days of the Lord. But where was their mind? Selling wheat. Making worldly gain. That's where their mind was. That is a profaning of the Sabbath day. I'm telling you, if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, We must not only be set apart, but there is a day that has been set apart, and we must honor that day. The Lord's day must be consecrated. The Lord's day must not be profaned. I would tell anyone looking for a job, you tell them in the interview, I will not work Sundays. You have to. Then this job's not for me. And somewhere down the road, if they hire you, they're going to challenge you. We really need you this Sunday. This will be the only time, but we really, truly need you today. Not as bad as I need to be in God's house. And I told you in the interview, well, that's being a bad employee. No, it isn't. It's being a bad servant of God to work on the Lord's day. That's how you need to look at it. Goes against the commandments of God. And yet, people profane the Sabbath, not only work, they profane the Sabbath with play, going out to the lake. They profane the Sabbath, they go on vacation. And they think because they're on vacation, they don't have to worship God that day. And they go out and they, whatever they do. That's a profaning of the Sabbath day. Well, we only do it a couple times a year. It's profaning the Sabbath day. One time a year is too much. It's too much. We need to realize the seriousness of this. And what a terrible, terrible testimony to spend the Sabbath day with Lord's people, with the world's people, when you ought to be in God's house. What a terrible testimony. There is to be a consecration of self, body, soul, and spirit must be set apart, must be reserved and devoted to the worship of God. This is imperative. This is imperative to true worship. We've already seen that this separation is a separation from and a separation unto. You read Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, and we've pointed this out many times. The order is very specific. You separate unto God first. And then what follows is, be not conformed to the world. And if folks would separate unto God, they would be separated from the world. That's just the natural result. The natural result of separating unto God is to separate from. But you can separate from in outward form and never be separated unto. But in all true worship, there has to be a separating unto the Lord. So we cannot worship Him in spirit when we bring the world into the place of worship. We cannot worship in spirit when our hearts and minds are still in the world. It can't be done. No matter how hard you try, it cannot be done. One cannot worship Him in spirit, as we said already, by inviting the distractions of the world into the place of worship. You can't do that and worship God in spirit. So all the elements of worship, whether it be singing, prayer, praise, listening, and receiving from God, must be carried out by a person who has died to self. And the truth is, during the worship service, we have to continue to die to self. Because you can make preparation on Saturday evening, and I believe that's when you ought to start making preparation. You can make preparation on Saturday evening, you can get up Sunday morning, and you can make preparation for the Lord's Day. By the time you get here, you might have to die all over again. 5 minutes in the worship service, you may have to die to self. It is a continual battle. Oh, how we ought to long to worship God. To worship God in spirit and in truth. Notice in the book of 1 Chronicles, we get an idea of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We get an idea of what is involved, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here. We could, but it's not our purpose. We get an idea of what consecration is all about. In this chapter, David is speaking to Israel about consecrating themselves for the building of the temple. And from this, we see several characteristics of consecration. First of all, a consecrated person recognizes a supreme purpose. Verse 1 says, the last part of that verse, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. They were to realize a supreme purpose. This isn't for us. This is about God. That's true of worship. It's all about God. A consecrated person puts forth the right effort. In verse 2, he says, I have prepared with all my might. When you recognize a supreme purpose, you're willing to put forth the effort. It's sad when people put more effort into the workplace than they do the worship of God. It's sad when we put more effort into our self-life than we do for God. But it's a true commentary. Where we put our most effort is what is most important to us. That's a commentary in our life. A consecrated person has the right interest. Verse 3, he says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. If we consecrate ourselves, our interest will be, I want to worship the Lord. Sunday ought to be an exciting day. It ought to be the day we look forward to all week long. And we set our heart to that day. If you read verses 3 through 5, we're not going to do so for time. But a consecrated person personally gives their best. They're not satisfied with just going through the motions. And whether it's worship or the service of God or whatever, we should never be satisfied with just going through the motions when it comes to the Lord. If you read verse 5, verse 6, verse 9, verse 14, and verse 17, you will see that word willingly. A consecrated person offers willingly to the Lord. We're not to act like we're doing God some kind of favor by being in His house. And as soon as the services are over, you can't hardly wait to get out to go fill ourselves with worldly pleasure. Oh, but I'll be back for the evening service, as if that makes it right. I'm glad you come back for the evening service, but the way you spent the afternoon is not right. There's nothing right about it at all. And it didn't prepare you for the evening service. God help us. We're in bad shape. And these are things that we desperately need today. Satan has caused us to mask over the real problems that plague our churches. And these are the problems that people, for the most part, people are not going to address. They don't want to go there. They'd rather deal with a few other things. This has become a sanctified sin. It's a sin that we have set apart. We're going to do this. We're going to spend our Sunday. We'll come to church. We'll spend an hour in Sunday school. We'll spend an hour in morning service. And then we're just going to use the rest of the day for the world or for sports or for whatever. Can you imagine what would happen if every member of Home Baptist Church would go home Sunday morning after services and pray and meditate upon what they heard and spend time talking with God? We'd have wonderful evening services. The people go home, they fill their minds and they fill their hearts with sports or whatever else is going on, family get-togethers, and then they rush back on Sunday evening as if they're spiritual. And the truth is, God says, you've profaned my day. You've used it for worldly pleasures. We need to carefully examine our hearts. And if God convicts you not to misuse the Sabbath day, you will be a minority in the Lord's church. You'll not only be a minority in the world, you will be in a minority amongst God's people, because this has become common. And it is a scary thing when sin of any kind becomes common. When it becomes common practice, it's a very serious thing. True worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Next week we'll begin looking at some things involved in worship, and we'll see that everything that is involved in worship demands that worship be spiritual. It's the only way you can worship, from a spiritual nature. God help us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Brother Larry, if you'd come.